Good morning, good morning, good morning. Here we go. We are on part four, and we are looking at why anybody would quit following Paul as such, following the risen Savior through the teachings of Paul only, King James Bible, or rightly divided. That's what we're doing here. It all got started because somebody said that the Paul people all quit. The pastor said the Paul people always quit, and they'll be back eventually. And my comments are, the reason it looks like Paul people quit is because they quit playing the game of religion. And if there is no church to go to that preaches the truth, then you'll be a publicly professed Christian who doesn't go to church. And that will surprise a lot of people. Actually, that would give you a great opportunity to start the conversation if they said something to you. But as we will talk about today a little bit, I thought of that last night, if I can remember how I put that thing. Well, I'll think of it later. And that is true. But there are people that do, that have been with the Paul thing for a couple of years or a lot of years or a year or whatever, that they eventually do quit. And the title, why would anyone no longer want to continue in the goodness of God? It's not that we're quitting Paul. Paul teaches us about the goodness of God. And unless I've said something incorrectly or wrongly or offensively or whatever, you won't find a better message than what Paul has to teach. You won't find any of God's judgment on us. You won't find any of God's chastisement or anger. This is a dispensation of grace, and that's exactly what it means. However, you've got to have Christ as your Savior to understand the goodness of God. Otherwise, you've got sin. You're attached to your sin still, and you cannot please God. It's just that simple. Now, there are some other reasons I'm going to get into today, but we got to finish something we started. And, let's see, what are some of the things that we had? I was going to print those off here. The notes are all up there, by the way, for this morning and for tonight. What did we talk about up to six? I think the first thing we said was not all people following Paul were sincere or serious. They get caught up in the hyper stuff. They don't want to know about the walk. They love the stuff about grace and doctrine, but they don't care about the walk. They just, there's one point. Another point was they're tired of doing right or trying to do right. And just get tired of it. We've got the comment that everybody still seems to need religion. They need to have that church to go to. They can't do their Bible on their own. It's tough. We've come that far down that we can't do that ourselves anymore, so many people. Then they really can't despise that religion that they don't understand why it should be despised. It's still a bunch of nice people doing a bunch of nice things. Oh, sorry. In a nice building with a nice name and a nice yard and all that kind of stuff. They can't live without that. The kids have got to go to Sunday school somewhere. Mom and Dad aren't going to teach them. The husband hasn't got the courage to preach what he needs to preach to the family, and the wife doesn't want to go along with it. That's kind of how the general scene goes, and eventually people quit. They just need that church to take care of that stuff for them. Not sure I said them all here, but the possibility of not even having the real Savior anyway. I have that another Jesus that Paul so warns about. Then we got into the point we're working on now is they hate persecution. And Paul says that we're going to have persecution. That's just what he says. Oh, no, we did a couple other things. Here we go. The last one was they loved the truth of all things being lawful, but they ignored the strings. We talked about that one. We talked about the fact that if you study the Jews' teachings to the Jews, of course, then these guys didn't consider themselves worthy for everlasting life, Paul said in Acts 13. And so they weren't interested in this stuff. There's something they just can't imagine that God would be God. God would act like God, you know, and to be able to take away sin because the law was fulfilled and pass it on to us by our hearing and believing. Then we got into the hatred and rejection of personal persecution. There we go. Even though the suffering we're going today is nothing compared to the glory that's going to be in the future. So then we got into this one long string of things here. And as I think more and more about this, this is probably the biggest point that is so hard for people to deal with. And those are those things that we won't take heed at avoiding and withdrawing. Places and people we should not be around. And I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons people struggle with Paul. They love the grace, they love the doctrine, they love the imputation, they love the spirit, the spiritual circumcision, as we call it. Even though this nut out there in the country made such a big fuss about the rapture, we still have hope for the rapture. It's just that this guy made such a... You know what that tells me? I think that tells me that the rapture must be getting close. Because the devil had to take this nutcase and make a big bunch of boo-hooey about the rapture to show people it doesn't exist and it's just all a big Christian farce. So now everybody's laughing if you mention the word rapture. So there goes that conversation. I think the devil's... It's just like the devil's got a lot of growth going on with the hypers and the mid-axers, is because he knows that he's got to still talk about Paul to take those that are weak in the faith, those that don't know Paul that well, the teachings, and the risen Savior, and they don't know how to deal with that stuff, so he's got to take them down by getting them caught up in something that says is Paul, but really still isn't. It's still a denomination like all the rest that talk about Paul. What you're going to end up doing, it's the final thing here, it's going to be you and your Bible. Nobody else, you and your Bible. Not family, not friends, not workers, nobody. You and your Bible. You're the only one that puts your head on your pillow at night, and you will be standing for your judgment seat, nobody else's. During this process of not avoiding and withdrawing these things we're talking about here, you're gonna have that love is gonna take care of you. You're gonna eventually go down because you're hanging around the wrong people, and we're gonna go through these again. We've been this a number of times. You'll be bewitched by philosophy. I'm telling you, you will. I know probably no more situations or more people that are no longer doing the Paul thing, as I guess I call it, according to Paul, actually. And it's because over time, they kept being chipped away this, chip away that, chip away there. Modesty slowly fizzles away. The volume of our talking fizzles away. How we entertain ourselves as Christians, we tend to forget that we're supposed to have a testimony still. And even just being there is wrong. We forget about where we go, we forget about what we do, we forget about what we watch. Over time, we just all give in. And before you know it, you might still think you're a Paul person, but your walk has gone to pot. Well, I still believe in following Paul. See, it's because we have to have that church to keep us going. Why is that? We have to have that pastor there. Why do we have to have that pastor there? We have to sing. Sing. Paul talks about how to sing in your heart. Offerings. Well, send your offering money here then. If it bothers you so much that you can't give your money to some church somewhere, give it to us. Keep this thing going. Fellowship. That's hard. Well, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 this morning. There's somebody to talk with. Email. You can email everybody. We got a lot of people on our list still that follow. We just don't do the pal talking. Most people hate the advertisements and stuff that comes up on pal. So we'll be bewitched. The leavening process will take us down. And leavening, you don't even know when you're going down. And this is one of the clues I've come across, that if I try to talk to somebody about, you know, you're going down, little by little, they'll get angry. That's the biggest clue that somebody's going. I'm sorry, they're going to go. They're getting angry when I talk about it now. Or ask them, why did they do this or why that? Then they get angry. You know they're going down. Or you'd be bewitched by this present world. You love this present world, which we talked about. That was one of the other points, was Demas. People leave because they just love this present world. You know, it's just fun. You got money now. That's our God. And you buy the stuff you want because it looks good, feels good. Might not be modest. Might not be the right thing to watch. But it's good. It's fun. The special effects on movies and TVs is great. You would have no idea. I don't think we have any idea how much we learn in our brain, in our manner of life, by just watching a TV program. We'll start talking like them. We'll think like them. The philosophies will get us. My best illustration to me is how many old people that lived in the generation, in the time of life where queerism was in the closet and it was wrong. It was grossly wrong. It was perverted. It was against nature. And look at how many of them now support it. And they didn't go to a queer school. They just somehow learned to accept it. Billboards, subliminal stuff, television programs on a constant basis. You know, it just comes. It just comes. It just comes. You go through the Badlands enough times, and you're going to believe in evolution. It's just that's that leavening, and that's that bewitching that we get bewitched with. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. Those are all the things that we allow ourselves to take us down after the rudiments of the world. and not after Christ. You're not hearing the preaching, you're not studying, you're not reading about Paul, then you're not after Christ. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey? Obey the truth. It doesn't just say believe, it says obey the truth. Okay, so here we go. Get into the tough stuff. We did two of them on Wednesday night. Avoid and from such withdraw. I'm not even sure we did number two, but anyway, let's review really quickly. We looked at the verses on who we are to avoid. And see, if we don't avoid them, then we're going against scriptures. We're not obeying the truth. But if you do avoid who he says to avoid here, there comes your persecution. That's what this point is all about. We hate persecution. We reject the things that Paul teaches us to do if we're going to be persecuted for it. So this one on avoid, Romans 16:17, tells us to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Remember, my point was, it isn't just because they don't understand the Paul stuff. That's not what he's saying. He's saying them which cause divisions and offenses. If somebody's trying to constantly pump you with anti-Paul stuff, or trying to take you down to the Paul you're trying to live and the walk you're trying to get, those are the ones that we're supposed to avoid, because if we don't, he'll get us down. It isn't just someone who doesn't believe in Paul. It's someone who causes divisions and offenses. And you can tell me right now, I know, don't type it up, I know you all know somebody that is against what you're doing, doesn't want you to do what you're doing, and he or she is the one that we are to avoid. Because you also have people that don't understand the Paul stuff, don't believe the Paul stuff, but they don't cause division and offenses to you. They allow you to believe what you believe and dress the way you dress and talk the way you talk and not do the things you don't do, not even to not go. They understand that. But if they start bugging you, just kick something underneath my chair here, then those are the ones we're to avoid. He says in 2 Timothy 2 to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. I had to do that again last night on the email thing with a guy that his reasonings are putting all the scriptures together. It really is. It's just not going to do any good. These questions don't even make sense. He is so illogical. You can't even talk logical with illogic. Foolish, unlearned questions, avoid them. Because they're just trying to pick a fight. Well, then you can kill anybody you want because you believe in Paul. That's called a foolish question. Of course not. But if you did, you wouldn't lose it's just like, oh, just be quiet kind of a thing. Then Titus 3:9, avoid foolish questions, genealogies. Genealogies like apostolic succession. Or how about baptistic succession, the briders? I got to belong to a Baptist church by a Baptist pastor who was baptized and ordained, da-da-da-da, all the way back to John the Baptist. See, that's genealogies. He's not just against the Mormon genealogy thing, finding out if your great-great-great-great uncle was a bum or a king. You know, whatever it is, who cares about that? But there's this genealogies that teach people spiritual stuff and contentions and strivings about the law. You know, what law? Just say to somebody, what law are you talking about? Well, God's law. What about it? Christ fulfilled that. Christ walked that walk. I've got Christ as my Savior, and that law is no longer there. So why fight about it? And many times, and I'm sure I've done this myself, I've turned Paul's teaching, especially in Timothy and Titus, as law. No, it's not law. All things are lawful. But it doesn't fit into the expedient, edify. Is it a power over you? Does it cause someone else to stumble? See, you can go someplace that you shouldn't be, and you can be good there, but you can cause someone to stumble by that. Is that okay? Well, it is to us because, see, we're not doing the things we should be doing as Paul. We may be covered. We may be behaving correctly. We may be trying to read the right stuff, doing the sermons and studying and doing the best we can at work. But if we don't fulfill and step into these things we're going to go through today and tonight, you are still going to be leavened. You are still going to be bewitched. And I think the word that I keep thinking of here is we're very cowardly. Because if we do any of these things, here's that list again, avoid, withdraw, not strive, not give heed, purge, reject, be not partakers, Mark them which cause divisions. Note them. Have no company. Put away from yourselves. Cast off. Have no fellowship. And see, if we do that stuff, there's where our persecution is going to come from. It's like, you know, you're not going to get persecuted for clothes anymore. You know, one of the styles today is long, I guess, for the ladies and the men. The basketball players are wearing those long, baggy shorts, you know. So there's a lot of modesty going on in the world. There are people out there that are lost as can be, got more modesty than that modesty standards than Christian Paul-following people. How people behave, how they talk, how a man is a man with his family and in his job, and ladies that stay home with the kids and all that stuff. I mean, there's so much of that in this lost world, and they're getting it more and more. I can't think of the names. Movie stars have quit because they get children. And the movie star ladies, famous as they are, stay home with those kids. They still destroy their kids, but at least they stay home with them. Even they're doing that. Of course, make a couple million bucks on a movie. Why not stay home with your kids? I mean, that would be pretty easy. But anyway, whatever. Okay, so let's go back. So the first one was avoid. And if we don't avoid, we're going to get taken down. It's just going to happen. Remember the verses where it's in Galatians and Ephesians, where it says, don't be so strong that you think that you're doing so well, because you'll still fall. Thought I had those written down here, but I guess I don't here. It's on another page of notes, which I did not write down here. Nope, don't have them here. Okay, skill point number two, we did on Wednesday night. From such withdraw. Okay, who's that from? 2 Thessalonians 3:6. From every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. That's Paul's walk. That's Paul's manner of life. Every brother, that's a Christian. But the point is, walketh disorderly. See, that goes back to cause divisions and offenses. This guy's walking disorderly. He's outwardly going against what it is that Paul has taught to you. Then it also goes to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words of Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That's Paul's teachings right there. Doting about questions and strifes of words, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. That's the modern Christian right there. We're supposed to withdraw from that. Like I say, if we make the decision to follow through with these things in some form or another, you're going to receive some form or another persecution. Okay, so that was the end of Wednesday night, if I got my notes correctly. This is part four. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. This one is not strive. 2 Timothy 2:14. McKendine used to always say it three times, and then he'd give you time to find it, and then we would go on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. That's not 2 Timothy 2:14. Yep. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Well, who's he talking about up there? Go all the way up, 8, 9, right up in there. These are people that are non-rightly dividers, as you go through this context up here. It's an amazing thing. And it fits so well, I probably should have these verses switched around. Go to verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Must not strive. And that's hard. That's hard for me anyway. Because when you decide not to strive, you're not going to argue with them and strive over things with them. Then they start hitting you with, oh, so you're going to quit right away? Then your pride gets involved. No, I'm not going to quit right away. I'll talk to you, but you're wasting your time like Paul says. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Their biggest enemy is themselves. So why do we need to get all upset? Our pride. Only by pride cometh contention. If we get to the contention standpoint, we got too much pride. Somebody does. And it knocks our pride to step back and walk away if need be. But it hurts their pride. If you got it right and you keep teaching them, you keep teaching them, you keep teaching them, they get angry and they leave. If we could just not get angry and just talk normally, I'm not good at that. I hear stuff or see stuff that I know goes against the book and it's going to burn your judgment seat stuff and it's going to hurt your testimony, and I don't care how you justify it, it still gets my goat as the pastor or the preacher or the teacher of this stuff. You can say we care, or I don't know if it's because we care or if it's just pride. Man, I taught you this stuff for years. How come you can't keep doing it? Or I don't know why it gets me so going, but it does. So we're not to strive. We just talk to them. Show them the scripture. Show them the verses. And why don't they get it? What's the power of the word of God? You know, I think it says in Isaiah, the word of God will not return void or something like that. It sure seems like it does, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Because when they get to their judgment, those scriptures are going to be brought up again. And it'll do the job it needs to do. It'll kick him off into the lake of fire. So no, his word is going to come back, will not return void. It will come back to those people that laugh and mock and shut you down to this Paul stuff. It'll come back. And the reason it's not talking to almost anybody anymore is because, what, Romans 11:22, who wants to hear about the goodness of God? For some reason, people don't believe it. Well, they don't count themselves worthy to receive that much of a joyful thing where Christ just takes care of the law and knocks it down, takes it away for your righteousness, and he's right, and he imputes his righteousness to you and takes your sins and puts them on him, the future, past, present ones. And can you have anything better than that? Now that's just too good. God wouldn't do that. I don't deserve that. No, you're right. I mean, yes, you're right. You don't deserve that. But that's what he does. So, what's the point of striving? He tells us, A, he tells us not to, and B, he says it's a waste of time anyway. By the way, it says there, and that they may recover themselves in verse 26, out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Can the devil take us captive? He can take our flesh captive. He can't take our soul and our spirit, the spirit of God in us now, but he can sure take our flesh captive. And near as I can safely say, he still has our flesh, doesn't he? Either the anger shows it, or not avoiding that withdrawing, because we don't want the persecution. These are all the things that if we obey these scriptures, we give them heed, we'll be persecuted for. Promise. Now on the notes, I've got 1, 2, 3 places of the bunny trail. What do you strive with? We are to strive to preach Paul's gospel. We are to strive in prayers. We are to strive to still do right. So there's some notes on there for you on that one if you want to do that. Okay, number four. Number four? One, two. Yep, number four. This is just the avoiding stuff we're going through now. These are all under the same category of we don't want persecution. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:4. Neither give heed. Okay? Well, if we give heed, we're not going to be persecuted. But if we don't give heed, meaning if we don't pay attention or give this stuff our time, we'll be persecuted. He says here, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Do you know why this Paul's greater commission, as I called it, was so easy for me, it seemed like, is because anything that was taught to me as a great commission, I always questioned. I always asked, how come I got to ask for forgiveness if you were telling me my sins are already forgiven? I remember that question. I always asked that question. What's the faith of Jesus Christ? I'd read that in my Bible, and they didn't have any answer for that. So these fables, this endless genealogies, I don't have that verse here, do I? Jewish fables. I got to get that one in. Let me find where that's at here. Jewish, is that how it goes? Jewish something. Hang on here. Yeah, Titus 1:14 should also be in there. Left that one out. That's where we come up with not giving heed to Jewish fables. Why don't I have that on there? Shame on me for my notes. That is Titus 1:14. Great Commission. Jewish teachings. If that's taught to you today, then that's not true. It's a fable. It's not a fable. It's a true. It's true teachings, but not to us today. And I believe that that's what he's talking about, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. It turns people from the truth, it says, that turn from the truth. So if you give heed to that stuff, you'll be turned from the truth. You'll have a bunch of questions. Now, I know there are people that study the Paul stuff and you still have a lot of questions, and that's fine. And I've been sorry over the years that I've not always been able to answer them at the time. But I see the answers today. And yet, when you try to show somebody the answers, they still don't get it. That might be just in my teaching. I mean, I'm just not a good teacher, or a good preacher, or a good pastor, or whatever. Or maybe they just haven't got the stuff to get it yet. Give it time. I never got everything the first time. I'm such a repeater that I'm a Gatling gun pastor. I go over the same stuff all the time. Keep repeating. Anyway, don't go anywhere with that. Okay, so if you give heed, you'll have a bunch of questions and you'll lose your authority and your assurance. There we go. Number five, purge. Purge. He tells us to avoid. He tells us from such withdraw. He tells us to not strive. He tells us to neither give heed. And he tells us to purge. Purge what? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. What's the old leaven? Just go back to your old life. I mean, the stuff that was taking you down, the leaven, was slowly taking us down little by little. That's the old junk. That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us, it says. Well, what about some of this purging? Here's a tougher one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. This tough some verses. Paul's got some tough verses, no doubt. See, if you want to purge out that old leaven, you'll be persecuted for doing it. What you used to wear, what you used to drink, what you used to do when you went to parties and stuff and entertainment and movies and over people's houses and stuff, what you used to do, if you get rid of that, A, you shouldn't be there in the first place. B, don't do that anymore. You'll be persecuted for it. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, that doesn't tell us, that doesn't say we can just keep doing wrong. We are commanded to depart from iniquity. We're supposed to stop doing wrong. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Now, what's a great house? Your church house, maybe? Your company? Your family. This is tough stuff. Vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And to some honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Okay, so we don't get chastised. We don't get hammered by God. And yet we know that the bad stuff we're doing is going to come out as a judgment seat. So there's still some paybacks there. And yet it says right here that if you're meet for the master's use and you're prepared unto every good work, it's because you're a vessel unto honor and sanctified. And he tells us to purge ourselves from this wood and earth, from the dishonor. And he says it's a house, it's a single dwelling, it's a place, it's your local church. It's your local family. It's yourself, even, in so many cases, with your friends. The workplace. Some people you just don't fellowship with. We purge ourselves from them. Now, we know that there's grace and there's mercy in our lives, and I did find out, I did finally find my list of manner of life that we had a long time when we talked about this. As a Christian, you know, we're supposed to avoid and withdraw, and here we're looking at purge. Purge is a tough deal. You purge yourself from some people, you better be a good Christian. Because you're going to get persecuted, and you better not give them anything to fire back on you for where you go, what you do, how you dress, what you do for entertainment. Your manner of life better be a clean manner of life. Or who are you? Why would wood and earth purge itself of its wood and earth? No, it's because you want to be an honorable vessel. You want to be meet for the master's use, meaning you want him to use you. You want him to use your testimony. But see, if you don't want that, then don't purge yourself of this stuff. Because if you do, you'll be persecuted. This manner of life I have, we did over this a long time ago. Here's the list. Prayer, tears, for somebody who's you're concerned about. You care for somebody. Here's how you care for somebody. You pray, there's tears, you'll have tears over them, it'll be hard. You have grace, you still have your grace, and you still got to have truth. Mercy, long-suffering, patience. Then it gets tougher, get into the reprove. Then you got to get into the rebuke if you have to. Then Paul says to get away. This is what we're going through today. And lastly, is deliver them unto Satan, which we'll get to probably tonight. So it isn't just us being so snotty and high-minded and high-nosed that we walk away. We purge ourselves from people who aren't like us. That's not what he's saying here at all. But if you want to be meat for the master's use, and if you want to be, as it says, prepared unto every good work, you want to be strong enough to do right, then you're going to have to purge yourself of those people or those places or those things or those clothes or whatever that's taking you down. And when you do, I'll say it again, when you do, when you purge, when you neither give heed, when you avoid, when you do not strive, when you withdraw, you're going to get persecuted for it. So if you don't like persecution, that's probably the biggest reason people give up on this Paul stuff. So if you don't like to be persecuted for Christ, you must love this present world. That's the only option you have. Either take the persecution of the risen Savior, and you'll see why you're eventually here, or go back and love this present world. You can't play on the fence. Number 6 in this persecution section is reject. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 10. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. That's what it says. So see, you give the person a chance. Again, is he causing division? Kind of thing. Do you avoid him? Sure you do. Give him 2 shots at it. Give him 2 chances. Now, why is that? Well, look at verse 11. This person you're trying to talk to is subverted, sinneth, he's not saved, and is condemned of himself. Give him 2 shots and then get on with it. And this person you're talking to might be good with scriptures, but he's not a rightly divider. He might have another Jesus. Probably does, if we want to really hold to Paul strictly. So there comes a time, 2 shots there, reject if it's just one of those blowhards. No point in wasting time on him. The lady comes to you with it, and you're taking care of her cat, and she's just healing and all, and like Mark, all the stuff Mark you talked about. Well, hey, a couple of shots at her and get out of here, lady. Brian, the same thing with the people, that lady you were talking with. You gave her a chance. Too late now. She's out of here. Just be done. Okay, how are we doing for time? We may get this stuff done this morning. That's probably a ton of stuff. But like I say, the notes are there for you. Who needs notes? I mean, the risen Savior tells us through Paul that there's so many places we aren't supposed to be, or many people we're not supposed to be around, or things we're not supposed to be doing. And that is still true. Yes, mid-axers. Yes, hypers. God's grace is, this is the dispensation of grace and mercy, no problem. But we still don't ignore what he teaches us to do to please God. And he rewards us at the judgment seat. If we do something wrong, it burns at the judgment seat. But let's not be so high-minded or smart-alecky about it. When the time comes, you're going to wish that stuff wasn't there to burn. Unless you don't believe that the judgment seat of Christ is really real, because that's our next thing. It's the next thing we go through. If we have the rapture or we die, we got the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to wish that back in this day, right now, you're going to wish that you had kept those clothes on. You're going to wish you hadn't gone to there and had an excuse for going there. You're going to wish you hadn't done this. You're going to wish you hadn't watched that. You're going to wish. That's just the way it's going to be. That's our flesh. But we're sure going to be thankful when we get there that we're there. Because the other judgment is they can't even compare. It won't be us being judged at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be our works. Right there is a fantastic thing. So the reasonable service, he says, is to provide our bodies, our physical bodies, a living sacrifice. Meaning, we are to strive to walk like Paul teaches us to walk, and we're to stand up for it. But I believe that most of us, and I'll say it, most of us, anymore today, we're cowards because people don't want to talk about it. People don't get it. We're tired of fighting the battle. We're tired of being dressed this way. Summer season is upon us. It's time for swimming. It's time for working out on the lawn, getting a tan, all this kind of stuff. Even though we get cancer over it. All the kind of stuff we're going to get back into now is because we're cowardly. We don't want to stand for what we used to stand for. Or we just love this present world. And I'll tell you what, the more I read the news, the more I see why Paul tells us, and the risen Savior tells us, don't get yourself entangled in the affairs of this life because it's just corrupt. The things that we have been saying, especially Grandma Kench has been saying over the years, has so come to truth that, and yet it's in the major newspapers and the major news media carries it, and still nobody cares. Still nobody believes it. They just think that you just got, it's just amazing, isn't it? Think of their grandma. You get to live long enough to see what you were telling people coming true. Okay, so we did the rejection verse. That was number 6. Here's one, 7, number 7. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. And this is a little tougher to handle because this is Corinthians again. This is before the book Paul was talking about. Well, is it still not true? Well, still, is it still true? It's true in some respect here. I'll show you. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now, are we talking about the Lord's Supper here? In that day, yes. You can't come to this supper, as they would have it there, and remember the Savior and all this kind of stuff, and go out that little adobe house door, go out there and play in the world again. Table of devils. Well, the same thing is still with us, and yet we got to realize and remember, yes, we are saved. Yes, we are circumcised away from that flesh. But look at the spiritual application. Here we are doing the Paul thing, we're hearing the preaching and teaching and stuff, and are we going to make any changes at all? We're going to go back out to that present world and your jobs and the whole thing? Well, first of all, some of you shouldn't even be out in those jobs anyway, according to the Scriptures. But God's grace, all that you're doing there is going to burn in judgment seat. But what can you do about it? I'm in a situation I can't do anything about it. Okay. So don't lose your joy over it. But still be the Christian there, the Paul Christian. Don't be satisfied with being the normal, worldly, conservative Christian. See, we're cowards. We still don't have the guts to separate ourselves from this religion that everybody has. Out here in South Dakota, conservative to the max. And yet, if they have a Jesus, he's another Jesus. He's the one Paul worries about, based on doctrinal teachings. And if they believe that, then that's what the conclusions would be. I'm not making the judgment. So, we still play around on the table of the devil. 1 Corinthians 9:12 talks about these guys are saying, these guys have the power because of the apostles, and Paul's the guy here. But he says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? These pastors have power over their people. People will not stop their church because of their pastor. And it says, Paul, these guys aren't going to do that to him. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, put up with all things, what he said, suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. These pastors are hindering the gospel of Christ. That's the risen Savior. Because they put the power, the guilt trip, the extortion. There's a couple of verses on extortion. Read that. Pastors stand in those pulpits today, and they extort you. They put the guilt on you. They make you do this. They want your money. They are extortioners. And they're hindering the gospel of Christ. Okay, so the guy doesn't talk about Paul all the time, but sometimes he does. And he goes into, you know what that guy's doing when he talks about the Gospels, and he preaches messages out of, you ought to have your family like Jacob had his family, and all this kind of Old Testament stuff, and get into Peter and James and Hebrews, and mostly Peter, these guys. You know what they're doing? They're actually hindering the gospel of Christ. But they're putting this power over people. Well, I wonder what the pastor was like. I suppose I've done that to people too. I'm I was told a long time ago by a good missionary friend, they don't become their policemen. I guess I became people's policeman in their eyes of the Holy Spirit, they said. No, I'm just showing what the Bible says. And I tag my words on there, just like you tag your thoughts when you read your Bible. I'm just tagging some thoughts for you, I guess. I don't know. He says, we are not to partake with those that play that power game. Because what are they doing? They're hindering the gospel of Christ. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things. They put up with stuff. So I'm not good at that. I'm not good at putting up with stuff. I'm not good at suffering all things. That's my pride, I guess. I care enough for people that I want to see them make those changes. Not just believe differently, but make those changes in their life. It'll take care of their kids in the long run. It'll take care of their everything. It's just, you know, don't get into there. Neither we hinder the gospel of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Ephesians 5, 7 says, Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Well, who's them? Okay, read verses 1 to 6. On your own. Just read them on your own sometime. Find out if you're partaking with people you shouldn't be partaking with. See, I'll say it again and again and again. If we partake, if we don't purge, if we give heed, if we don't avoid, if we don't withdraw, then we're going to give in. But if we do not partake, if we do reject, if we do purge, little, more, whatever, if we don't give heed, if we do some avoiding and withdrawing, and we're going to suffer persecution. And my whole point of this whole series is, why are people quitting Paul's teachings? Why are they quitting the goodness of God? Because they're tired of the persecution. Or they're tired of the guilt of not doing these things. Well, where's the guilt coming from? I suppose me, or your Bible reading, because we are still commanded. He still tells us to do these things. These are the ordinances. These aren't laws. There is no law. But these are the things that please God, and these are the things that will save us on this earth. It will, but it causes persecution. Yes, but it will be rewarded in the judgment seat, and he says the rewards and the glory is going to be so much better than any persecution we've had down here. If we could just keep our eyes, set our affection on things above, if we could just keep our mind ahead of ourselves, just put up with this junk that goes on and be the Christian we need to be, just to show people that I'm a Christian. And I don't do those things. I don't go there. What if somebody sees you? What if somebody hears you? What if just for one day it's too hot? What if you go to the beach sometime with it? You know, what do? Well, you look pretty stupid. That's persecution. And we're cowards today. We don't want to. And we all are. I am. We don't want to take that stand that we should take that stand. And that has to do with all these avoidings and things. Then in your notes, again, you'll see I've got some comments here. Good things to partake. We're told not to be partakers. So I listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 things that we should partake in. You know, people always say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. What should we do? Okay, if he says, don't partake in this, he'll tell you what you should partake in. That's a sermon all by itself. It's out there somewhere. So, I think it's probably a good place to stop. That was a lot of stuff. Just zipping through the way too fast. But Marilyn Kent, Grandma Kent, you know, patience, Mark, you know that that's what I've always done anyway. I just get going too fast on stuff. But boy, you ought to dig up some of the old notes from 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. And I look at those and go, I did that in less than an hour. And Grandma Kenyon, patience, you go, no, you didn't do that in less than an hour. Your sermons were well over an hour in those days. Well, it's just a lot of stuff. I just know for some people, this, I won't see you now until next Sunday morning, if even then. So I hope you take a chance to look up the sermons and listen, look at the notes and ask yourself. Remember Acts 26:18, Paul wants us to change our lives. He wants us to change us from the power of Satan how's that go? Gosh, I have a hole in my memory, don't I? It's just terrible. Acts 26:18. Here we go. open our eyes, turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. There we go. I almost threw the power of God. No, from the power of Satan unto God. God will take care of it from there. And we receive our forgiveness. Sure we do. And inheritance. So, and Paul says, from the faith that is in me, not faith in Paul. It's faith that is in Paul. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. Everybody, when you talk about Paul, did you notice they always think you're saying that Paul is your Savior? No, Paul is not my Savior. He's my apostle. He's my teacher. He's my guide in the King James Bible. Anyway, we'll stop there. Less than an hour again, but we'll stop there. Give you enough, like Brian says, time to chew on that stuff.